This episode is brought to you by JCPenney. And if you've been to JCPenney recently, yes, JCPenney, you'll know it's becoming the way to find good clothes for prices that still make sense. They've got hidden gems for everyone and every budget, with deals and rewards that actually make a dent. If you already shop JCPenney, you feel like you know a secret. But if not, it's time to ask. Wait, am I sleeping on JCPenney? Shop JCPenney.com. Yes, JCPenney.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile.
With the price of just about everything going up, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Welcome back to Bravo Breaking News. I am your host, Kim, back with another episode of Unpopular Opinions, my weekly show where I break down all of the top Bravo news and moments of the week. And you guys know I'm going to give my opinions on them all.
That's my opinion!
I hope everyone had a great long holiday weekend. I know I did. I hope everyone had their good hot dog once, twice a year, a la Lisa Rinna. I definitely did. It was great. But while most people think of July 4th as, you know, fireworks, barbecues, beach days, I always associate it with the first weekend of Summer House filming. I don't know about you, that's just where my head goes as a Bravo fan. You know what I always say, all roads lead to Bravo. So we are going to be reporting on that. We have some new cast members that have just been leaked, as well as some interesting stories surrounding Janet from the Valley and a Real Housewives of Orange County star. I am also going to be breaking down all of the drama surrounding Love Island this past week. So stay tuned for that. But before I dive in, hit that subscribe button so you don't miss any more Bravo breaking news. So let's start off with the Summer House news, because that is definitely top of mind this weekend. The cast is currently in the Hamptons filming their first weekend of the summer. And I've already seen several videos and TikToks of the cast out and about. But ever since Paige, Lexi, and Imrule announced their departures, I have been waiting to see who is going to replace them. Amanda Petula was actually on Jason Tardick's podcast, Trading Secrets, earlier this week and teased some of the new cast members that might be joining. She shared that there were actually about 7 girls that she knew of auditioning for the upcoming season. And she also said that there was a guy that had been in the spotlight or the public eye previously that was confirmed to be joining the cast. Of course, everybody went wild with theories. A lot of people were talking about Rob from Love Island joining the cast. A lot of people mentioned Fibula, a TikToker who is really good friends with West. And more people were even talking about Jason Tardick himself. They were like, were Amanda and Jason playing us on this podcast? Is Jason actually joining the cast? Because he was in the Hamptons this past weekend. However, I don't think any of those guys are actually joining the cast. While some of them might very well be in the Hamptons and even at the party this weekend, we did get confirmation of 4 new cast members. And no, none of them are Oisin from Southern Hospitality either. I know some of the Southern Hospitality crew, Joe, Maddie, and Oisin, were spotted partying with the Summer House crew. And I'm sorry. If Bravo choose to put Oisin on that show, I'm pretty sure I would boycott Summer House. I think that would be the end of the show as we know it. So I'm really glad that he is actually not one of the cast members, even though it looks like they might be doing a crossover episode this weekend. So the 4 new cast members that were confirmed by Bravo and Cocktails and Bravo Chatroom on Instagram are Ben Waddell in the top left corner. Now, this is who Amanda was talking about, who had been in the public eye before, because he is actually from The Bachelor Australia and now lives in New York. On the top right, we have KJ, who is a musician. On the bottom left, we have Levi, whose Instagram bio says she is in events. And on the bottom right, we have Bailey, a creator and podcaster, host of the It Girl series. It looks like she does street interviews and has an interview that she posted with Paris Hilton. I don't know about you. I don't know anything about these people. I guess it's good that they're kind of unknown people. I don't know. I know one of them is from The Bachelor. But all I know is that I hope that they have some sort of authentic connection with the cast already. Bringing in randoms with zero connection to these cast members never works. They don't mesh. It's not authentic. So I just hope that they know some people in the house in some way, shape, or form. Another interesting fact about Summer House is that Lindsay was not filming in the house this weekend. She has confirmed that she is returning to the show, but from what I could tell from her post, it definitely seems to be in a part-time capacity because she was actually back in the city for the fourth, spending it with her daughter, Gemma. Now, what I am hoping for actually is that we get more footage of Lindsay in the city living her life as a mom. I know Gemma probably won't show up on camera, but I do hope that we get to follow Lindsay's new life in the city when she does stay back in the city and not go out to the Hamptons each weekend. I don't know. Time will tell. We'll see how this season progresses. I'm sure a lot of people will be posting a lot of behind the scenes footage from the Hamptons this summer. So stay tuned. I will keep you guys updated on everything that comes out. So let's jump over to some The Valley news, because I don't know if you guys saw this headline. I have been seeing it literally everywhere all weekend long, and I have a lot of thoughts about it. So according to multiple news outlets, The Valley star Janet Kapurna flees the U.S., locks social media accounts after receiving vile threats. The Valley star Janet Kapurna has left the U.S. and made all her social media accounts private after facing a torrent of threats from viewers. Kapurna, 35, hightailed it to Switzerland with her husband Jason and their 18-month-old son Cameron this week as a result of the abuse, the Daily Mail reports. So first of all, can I just say that this headline is absolutely insane? Like, Janet fleeing the country. I knew that this wasn't true the moment that I read it. And the reason why the media is painting this picture is because while Janet is on vacation, on a planned vacation with her family in Switzerland, a podcast episode that she did released this week talking about all of the threats and hate that she has gotten online. The two are absolutely in no way connected. Now, my first thought about this is, do I like Janet? No. Do I think she's a Karen? Yes. Have I said some not so nice things about her on our Valley recaps? Yes. Do I wish her and her family harm in any way, shape, or form? Absolutely not. Guys, this is getting out of control. This is a reality TV show. It is not that serious. At the end of the day, these people might not be good people, but they don't deserve what they are getting online. And the fact that Janet has to put out an entire podcast detailing some of the messages that she has received is absolutely insane. Also, the fact that she has to clarify that she is on vacation and not fleeing the country because of this is also insane. I feel like the media is taking this way too far. However, it seems like some of her Valley co-stars might think that she is actually doing this for sympathy and kind of feeding into this narrative. I don't know if it's just working on me, but Janet actually posted this Instagram story clarifying the news the other day.
Put us in a box. Go ahead. That just gives us something to break out of. Because the next generation 2025 GMC Terrain Elevation is raising the standard of what comes standard. As far as expectations go, why meet them when you can shatter them? What we choose to challenge, we challenge completely. We are professional grade. Visit GMC.com to learn more.
Learning through play starts with Lego Duplo. With Lego Duplo, toddlers can develop real-life skills while having fun with colorful bricks made just for them. Large, easy to grip, and safe to explore. When children express themselves with Lego Duplo, they build patience, problem-solving, and empathy. See your child learn perseverance and self-expression with everything they imagine and create. Visit lego.com/preschool to learn more.
This is a much needed planned family vacation we're on. We are in Switzerland and it's been lovely.
And we have both Kristen and Jasmine commenting on the repost on Taste of Reality's Instagram saying, I'm really trying to keep my thoughts to myself. And then Janet weighs in, I mean, let's just start filming now at this point. So I don't really know what they're trying to say here. I think they are basically implying that Janet is trying to gain sympathy by basically saying that so many people have reached out to her, worried about her and Jason. I think Kristen might be implying maybe not that many people have been reaching out and worrying about her. I know that Kristen and Janet are enemies. Janet is definitely the villain of the show. She's not very likable, if you ask me, and neither is Jason at this point. I do not like how they are treating Danny and Nia. I think that that is actually dangerous, what they are saying about him as well. But at the end of the day, does she deserve to get messages like this? No. I do really want to know what Kristen actually means by this comment, Jasmine too. So drop your theories in the comments, but it definitely looks like they have no sympathy for her whatsoever. I just feel torn about this. I don't know. I don't like Janet, but I don't wish ill will on her at all either. Okay, so we've covered Summer House, we've covered the Valley. Let's jump over to Southern Charm, which is also filming right now. The boys were spotted on a cash trip to Mexico, but while they were partying it up, Madison LaCroix was actually in the hospital having her baby. Congratulations to Madison and Brett. They welcomed their new daughter, Teddy, into the world this past week. And I could not be happier for her and happy that mommy and baby are actually safe because it looks like Teddy was actually born early. So according to Us Weekly, Madison LaCroix gave birth to daughter at 34 weeks, details NICU stay and prolonged labor. Madison LaCroix and her husband, Brett Randall, have welcomed their first baby together. The Southern Charm star, 34, exclusively told Us Weekly that her little girl, Teddy, named after her late father, arrived on Sunday, June 29th. She also shared the news during her Thursday, July 3rd Amazon livestream sponsored by Graco. I was in labor for 48 hours, basically because my water broke at home. She recalled the crazy start to her labor and delivery beginning at 2:30 a.m. after celebrating her mom's birthday at a concert while Randall was working in California. She said the doctors tried to put off delivering Teddy as long as possible because she was early. We kind of prolonged the labor and Brett got here and then we waited another day and had the C-section and there she was 5 minutes later, LaCroix said, confirming her husband made it with plenty of time to be by her side. Teddy then spent a few days in the NICU as part of the protocol for babies born that early. She's little, she's only 5 pounds, but she's breathing on her own and hasn't needed any oxygen or anything like that. She's kind of a little trooper. Doctors were shocked how early she was, that she was going to be this independent. So I was like, oh, I wasn't shocked at all. I am so happy that Brett was able to make it to Madison's side. That has to be such a scary thing to go through by yourself with your husband literally all the way across the country. But I am so glad that things worked out. It looks like Madison and baby, if they're not already home, they should be going home very soon. And I just could not be happier for her. I know she has wanted this for a very long time, and I am looking forward to seeing her journey play out on next season of Southern Charm. Okay, now let's move on to some Real Housewives news. I don't know if you guys saw this headline, but there is some news going around about David Bedore, Shannon's ex-husband from The Real Housewives of Orange County. And all I gotta say about it is karma is a bitch. This man is getting, I don't want to say he's getting what he deserved, but he is definitely getting what was coming to him. So we all know that David famously had an affair and left Shannon for another woman. He ended up getting married to this woman, Leslie, and they have a daughter together. But things are not looking so good. There has been a lot of turmoil within their relationship, and it has definitely reached a head this week. Shannon Bedore's ex-husband David files for a restraining order against wife Leslie, accuses her of alleged abuse. Leslie and I have had many ups and downs in our marital relationship. David Bedore has filed for a restraining order against his estranged wife Leslie Bedore. The ex-husband of Real Housewives of Orange County star Shannon Bedore accused Leslie of physical abuse and called her a pathological liar in court documents obtained by People. Leslie has physically abused me on several occasions, and only a small portion of those incidents have been detailed in previous domestic violence actions. David, 60, accused Leslie, 41, of marrying him for money. Leslie and I have had many ups and downs in our marital relationship, with prior divorce petitions filed and dismissed and domestic violence restraining orders. I have always been concerned that Leslie's relationship with me has been primarily based upon her desire to live a luxurious standard of living. In our case, it's not just a cliche that Leslie married me for money. In our case, it is a fact. She has made that very clear to me, literally. David claimed in the docs that the two had an argument on June 11th and that Leslie physically attacked me, gouging large chunks of skin out of my arm. He alleged she also shoved her fingers in his mouth, accused him of biting her fingers, and slapped him in the face multiple times. 2 days after the altercation, Leslie accused him of being gay, which he denied, People reports. David and Leslie share a four-year-old daughter, Anna Love. The court ordered that Leslie stay 100 yards away from David, his home, and his work, except for custody changes with Anna. She must also vacate his Newport Beach, California home. This is absolutely wild and should be a lesson to any man or anybody that is looking to cheat and leave their spouse of 20 plus years. The grass isn't always greener on the other side. I mean, the story just gets worse and worse as you read it. Not only is there physical abuse, but she is using him for money and is staging these things to blame it all on him and then accusing him of being gay. Like, where is that even coming from? This woman sounds like an absolute sociopath. And this is who David chose to leave his wife of over 20 years for. Somebody who loved him, somebody who put effort into that marriage. And he chose to throw it all away. I'm sorry, but this is karma at its finest. This is the definition of karma. I feel so sad for Shannon and David's daughters to have to go through this with their dad. And I'm sure David is regretting this decision that he made. But guys, it gets worse because Bravo and Cocktails posted that they were actually seen together this past weekend in Colorado. I think it was at a resort in Aspen. David and Leslie, who he had just put a restraining order on, were spotted on vacation together. Like, make it make sense. I mean, this man, as evil as he was, seemed to be like a normal person, but this is not a normal relationship by any means. And nobody in their right mind would be making decisions like this. So I don't know. I definitely think that Shannon is better off without him. But this is just absolutely insane to me. And I'm just glad to see Shannon happy and thriving without him. In more Housewives news this week, let's talk about Miami. Because for some reason, I am seeing these live viewership numbers and nobody seems to be watching Miami. Why is that? Like, the numbers are even lower than Next Gen NYC. I am not getting it. These women bring the drama week after week. Although I do have a problem with this past week's episode, and let me tell you why. So you know where I stand on the Julia versus Gertie drama. That drink throw was absolutely inexcusable. So please tell me why this past week, everybody seems to be consoling Julia and being on Julia's side. Meanwhile, nobody is pretty much there for Gertie except her husband. Like, make it make sense. Why is everybody siding with Julia? They planned an entire baby shower. Nobody is telling her what she did was wrong, that she crossed the line, or absolutely anything. It's like production is actually painting Julia as the victim and not Gertie, which I have a major issue with. I am not getting it. It's not making any sense to me whatsoever. So I do hope we see a little more of that play out next week. But what we also got this week was the introduction to the new Miami housewife, Stephanie. So when the news first came out that she was joining the cast, it actually came out that she dated Dr. Nicole's current husband and that it was going to be all of this drama surrounding that. But once she told us her story, how she got married young and has been married for forever to this guy who's like, I don't know, 40 years older than her, I was like, so when did she actually date Dr. Nicole's husband? It was 20 years ago. I don't think that there's any drama there between her and Nicole. So I think that was kind of just made up basically out of nowhere. So we meet her and basically her storyline is rich. She's giving rich. I do love a rich housewife. I love to see money. I love to see wealth. In the first scene, we see her flying on a private jet with Larsa to Orlando to pick up her dogs. I mean, that is the level of housewife that I want. But I am a little worried, guys, because if that's all you're bringing to the table, it's not enough. I love the wealth. I love the glamour. I love the fashions that she's bringing. But we need more than that, unfortunately. And you kind of have to toe the line a bit, right? Because when a new housewife comes on, I don't want it to give inauthentic. I don't want it to give thirsty, you know, basically vying for screen time, making up drama that wouldn't exist otherwise. And I'm a little scared that Stephanie might be doing just that. You know, we're still getting to know her this episode. The rest of the ladies are as well, but we get a preview for this coming week, and she's coming after Lisa for being late. Now, I know Lisa definitely has issues being late. She's been late quite a bit, but we get this scene of all of them waiting in a Sprinter van. Lisa shows up late, and Stephanie is the only one yelling at her. And Lisa's like, "You don't even know me. I don't even know you. What are you even saying? Like, don't come at me like this when you don't even know me." And sorry, I'm kind of on Lisa's side on this one. Is that an unpopular opinion? Yes, being late is annoying. Trust me, I am never late. I am always early or on time to everything that I go to. But it just seems like Stephanie is coming on a little too strong. I mean, you don't know this woman, and yet you are the only one in that van yelling at her, asking why she's late. I don't know. It's giving a little bit thirsty to me. I don't like my new housewives thirsty. I like when they naturally integrate themselves into the group and the drama. I know that can be difficult to do. So I don't know. Jury's still out on the new Miami housewife for me, but I still love watching these ladies. I'll always love watching them. So make sure you guys are tuning in to Miami. And I'll let you know if my thoughts about Stephanie change throughout this season. Okay, final story of the week has got to be Love Island USA, because there is a lot of drama, guys. I know I've talked about how obsessed I am with Love Island. I love watching it, but I got to say, it's getting to be a little toxic, and I'm talking about the social media activity surrounding it all, because it has come out that one of the Love Island cast members, actually, it's the second Love Island cast member this season, has used a racial slur, and fans are calling for her to be kicked off the show. I'm sure you guys have been seeing this going around on the internet. We already had one contestant, Ulyssa, kicked off basically day two of the show because videos resurfaced of her using a slur online. And now we have another one, Sierra. Not one, but two posts of hers have resurfaced of her using a slur. And it's not looking good for her, guys. Because it is being reported that Love Island producers are actually holding crisis meetings trying to figure out what to do with her on the show. The US Sun reported, while Sierra was a favorite to take home the $100,000 prize on Love Island USA, fans are now calling for her to be removed from the villa because of a resurfaced racist post. A source exclusively confirmed to the US Sun that production is allegedly holding crisis meetings over the post. A production source told the US Sun, "Sierra is in deep trouble, that is for sure. This kind of word is unacceptable. It was a huge disappointment when we saw it. Everyone is very, very bothered and pissed about that. We will hold a meeting to decide what we should do, but it doesn't look great at all for Sierra, as a lot of us want to take her out of the show as soon as possible." So this article actually came out several days ago, and what we've seen in the episodes following is them pretty much cutting Sierra completely out of the show. Now, we've had a few scenes of her here and there. I'm filming this on Sunday, so we'll see what they do during tonight's episode. But they're basically like cutting her out of the narrative. And I have a feeling that this is going to be their way of dealing with the problem. And unfortunately, it looks like she might be taking Nick down with her, because she's in a couple with Nick. They closed it off. And so where does that leave him? Where does that leave his future on the show? Does he have any insights into this? Will he couple up with Alandria, who's now single, and will get a revival of Nick Alandria? I mean, I would absolutely love to see that. It's probably a bit of a pipe dream at this point, but all I gotta say is Love Island, do your research. I mean, a lot of these cast members have come out as being problematic, and I don't know who's on the casting team or who chose some of these people, but I would suggest doing a deep dive on their social media profiles before you bring them on the show, so you don't have to cut out one, two, three cast members while filming. I've definitely enjoyed watching this season, but it has become toxic on social media. So much so that we're not getting a Twitter challenge, it sounds like, for this season. And we're not even going to be getting movie night. I don't know why. I mean, it seems like these people in the villa already have enough drama with each other. Maybe they don't want to make it worse with movie night. I mean, hell, we probably won't even be getting a reunion at this point. But we do have a recoupling tonight. I am interested to see what happens. In the sneak peek, it looks like it is all centered around Amaya, who is a very bright light amongst all of the dark drama going on around her. So we'll see who she picks. At this point, I don't even really care. Just give her the $100,000 and let's call it a day. But I am interested to see what goes down this final week. Ariana did confirm that the families will be joining the Islanders in person in the villa. So that should be interesting to say the least. But even though it's toxic, I still need to see how everything ends. So I will be tuning in for this final week. Who do you guys even want to win at this point? I mean, I guess Ace and Shelly, while, you know, a lot of people don't like them, they're really the only true couple at this point, other than Taylor and Clark, but nobody's going to vote for them. I guess Iris and Pepe might be an option. I don't know. I'm seated to see how it all plays out, but I will be glad to return to normal life once this season is over. So that's it for this week's Unpopular Opinions. As always, drop your opinions in the comments below. Do you agree with me? Do you not? And hit that subscribe button so you don't miss any more Bravo breaking news. I'll see you guys next time.
Mom and Dad, the school supplies you buy me this year will mostly end up in my mouth. Maybe shop low prices for school at Amazon so I don't eat up all your money. Just something to chew on. Amazon. Spend less, smile more.